Welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we're joined by Paul Arduano, CTO of Tether Inc. In this show, we discuss their $600 million loan to Northern Data to invest in AI infrastructure and Bitcoin mining. We also discuss the reasons for getting into Bitcoin mining and how they choose sites around the globe.
Did you know that you can make more money by merge mining other networks? Check out makemoremoneymining.com for information on BIPs 300 and 301, a proposal to bring more revenue to Bitcoin miners through sidechains and merge mining called drive chains. Increase your mining revenues and learn more about participating in Bitcoin governance by visiting makemoremoneymining.com. Are you a miner who wants to activate Bitcoin improvements? Check out activation.watch. See what Bitcoin improvements the Bitcoin community, developers, and miners are considering and show support by signaling for one of many BIPs up for consideration. Activation.watch.
Is your mining operation happening ready? Take control of your own future with the right energy strategy. Linkcoin Energy Trading Platform is a tool used by miners to design, monitor, and seamlessly orchestrate sophisticated energy strategies within electricity markets such as ERCOT, New York, and PJM. Avoid penalties, participate in demand response programs, and capture hundreds of thousands of dollars per megawatt per year by deploying the right block and index strategy. Secure your competitive edge at linkcoin.com.
Do you have dinner plans November 17th? Well, you do now. Down in Fort Worth, Texas, at the North American Blockchain Summit, Satoshi Action Group is hosting a dinner along with a lot of our friends in the Bitcoin mining industry. You can join us November 17th at 6:30 p.m. by going to satoshidinner.com and using promo code MININGPOD to get 25% off your ticket. Again, that's satoshidinner.com. Use code MININGPOD to get 25% off your ticket. We'll be seeing you there.
Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com.
Welcome back to the Mining Pod. Today, we are joined by Paulo from Tether. Paulo, thank you so much for joining today. Tether's been making big strides into Bitcoin mining over the last 2+ years, and we are thankful for your time to talk about how you guys are doing so. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Milan. Really appreciate you on the Mining Pod. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so much to get to in our 45 minutes or so together today. So we'll jump right into it. And great timing also to record this podcast because you released information about the unsecured loan to Northern Data. Let's just start there. If you could tell me a little bit about that deal for context for people who are not familiar with it. And then let's just talk about like why you guys went forward with such a large investment into a pretty murky space at the time with Bitcoin mining. I'm seeing more deals emerge right now, but it did kind of, it was a big splash for a lot of people right now to see a headline with a $600 million loan.
Yeah. So first of all, one note that I want to make about this loan is that it's not part of the consolidated reserves. So it's not going towards or count towards Tether equity and reserves that are backing the USDT stablecoin, but they are part of our undistributed profits that we are accruing on a quarterly basis. So just to add a bit more context, Tether has now around in its reserves, as part of its reserves, around $3.2 billion of excess reserves on top of 100% reserves that are backing the USDT stablecoin. Then going forward, Tether is now on track of making around $1 billion on average in profits per quarter. And so part of these profits are going to be dedicated to invest in infrastructure. That could be data infrastructure, energy and Bitcoin mining infrastructure, or peer-to-peer communications infrastructure. And so among the partners that we picked in for investments in the data and Bitcoin mining, there is a company called Northern Data. Their structure, their CEO, their management, and their execution, their teams are amazing. So we felt that they were our perfect pick for leveraging three aspects. One is the evolution of the concept of data centers. To us, data centers are, of course, important for computing, to achieve large computing necessities that, of course, new technologies always need. the way we see also data centers playing in the future is the ability to keep backups of private data of people, but in an encrypted form without having to have access to the people's data. I'm a really big fan of privacy and the importance of people being owners of their own data. So yes, fine, if they want to use a backup on cloud, that's fine. But backups should be always encrypted with the private keys of directly the people that owns that data. So second, we have been looking at AI with and the AI aspects with Northern Data. So Northern Data is a company that have already been paving its way. It positioned itself as one of the leading companies for AI capacity in Europe. So they are set to be the biggest AI providers when it comes to, you know, H100 and A100 graphic cards for AI computing. If we remove Google, Amazon, and Microsoft, of course, that centers, Northern Data, I think, then can become easily the biggest one with more access to GPUs for AI computing. Third is what you started with, is Bitcoin mining. Northern Data has a track record of taking Bitcoin mining extremely seriously without taking enormous risks. We have seen many companies, many mining companies in the last year with the decline of Bitcoin price, taking enormous risk in accruing large quantities of Bitcoin with a bull theory that Bitcoin would immediately go to 100K or 200K, not selling the Bitcoin, and then have to be forced selling the Bitcoin to pay at the bottom to pay for the electricity bills. So we like the approach of Northern Data and be more cautious when it comes to projections and taking the role of a Bitcoin miner and the necessary stability of Bitcoin miner more seriously. And so for all these reasons, we decided that Northern Data was the rightful player that we should partner with for those three aspects.
On the loan, the thing that caught my eye was it was an unsecured loan. So I'd be interested in knowing why the loan was created in this manner and what sort of like obligations Northern Data has to Tether on behalf of this investment. Now, the context for this question, of course, is in 2021 and earlier, we saw a lot of crazy Bitcoin loans out there. And a lot of these things ended up being extremely sour. A lot of retail participants got wrecked because public miners took on these huge loans that they had no ability to pay for. And they basically mined retail shares to be able to claw their way back into existence. So that, I think a lot of people in the Bitcoin mining community are like, they're pretty hesitant when they see large loan deals. But to your point, there's more here under the water, and Tether obviously is paying off its profits. So there's a lot here backing the loan. But I'd be curious how you guys are thinking about structuring any of these loan deals, specifically this one with Northern Data.
Well, first of all, we did a really thorough due diligence, right? So Tether for the reserves of its stablecoin never did an unsecured loan. So all the loans that were done ever were fully over-collateralized. So with companies' own profits, you might have seen that previously was announced that Tether has acquired a stake also in Northern Data, right? So in a way, we are offering a loan to a company in which we have an important stake. And given the level of due diligence, the level of confidence that we have, we think that our risks are well covered. Again, risks of Tether shareholders, not risks of Tether USDT holders. There are two completely different things. That's why we only took this step as with our the undistributed profits and not with Tether USDT reserves.
The question I've always had about like Tether moving to this market is really why? Because Tether has this very large TAM with stablecoins, arguably the largest, and it's $1 billion in profits per quarter. You guys have the ability to invest in so many different things. And if you look at the reserves of Tether right now, you can already see that you guys are actively just like moving through different investments. So why move into infrastructure? Why move into Bitcoin mining? Why move into AI? What are the reasons for this investment when you guys have an entire other world that could arguably be more simple and more like synergistic with what you guys are building already?
So this is a really good question. We have been known as Tether for being the creator of the stablecoin market in 2014 and then issuing USDT. And having this gigantically leading stablecoin. But Tether at its foundation is much more than that. Over the last years, we have been investing, for example, in and co-founding projects like Holepunch, that is a peer-to-peer communication layer. It's one of my preferred projects because the first application that we built on top of Holepunch is called Keet, K-E-E-T.io, is a fully peer-to-peer chat app. You know, it's not like Noster, no relays, no nothing, right? So it's pure peer-to-peer. Use some cool techniques like blind mirroring and blind pairing in order to allow the network to scale seamlessly without any bottlenecks. So it could scale to 1 billion users without any sort of infrastructure costs. So that is the type of things that Tether gets involved in and thinks about since a long time. We believe that we are Bitcoiners at heart. And so we believe that as being Bitcoiners, we should always think how we can reinvest in the ecosystem. And we have been one of the companies that have been reinvesting in the Bitcoin ecosystem more than many others. If we think about our support of RGB as tokens on Lightning, or simply grants to Lightning developers, or support for Liquid and Blockstreams Liquid in on our premises, and integration on that with USDT. We have been supporting Lightning Network and, both from an educational point of view, from this infrastructure point of view, and so on and so forth. So we think that Bitcoin is the most important currency that the world ever had and will ever have. And also Bitcoin needs an ecosystem of other functionalities that are not offered directly by Bitcoin. And one of them, as I mentioned, is the communication side. We have this concept that in order to be to reach the individual sovereignty, you need to have both freedom, financial freedom that is represented by Bitcoin, and freedom of speech that could be represented by Keet and Holepunch. And so we build all. And by the way, just to say, Holepunch doesn't have any blockchain, doesn't have its own tokens. It's like pure. It's like BitTorrent, but for communications. And so this spirit that we have in us is like making us pushing through our, we are willing to put all our weight behind the growth of the Bitcoin ecosystem, not just in terms of Bitcoin as a currency or as a blockchain, but also as a philosophy. And also we think that it is important to protect Bitcoin, although Bitcoin doesn't need to be protected by us, but we think that in order for the safe growth of Bitcoin, we need to ensure that we don't fall back in the trap of having one or two countries having the majority of Bitcoin mining, as was happening until 2018 with China. And then now it moved for the majority, at least more than 50% of mining or hash rate is in the US. Nothing against the US, it just feels we are falling back into the old habits. We as Tether think that there is an opportunity for smaller countries to play a role in Bitcoin mining and start using the excess of energy that they produce to participate to Bitcoin mining and set themselves as a sort of resiliency hub for hash rate. And the more Bitcoin mining gets distributed geopolitically, the better it is for the resiliency and the stability of the network anyway.
So I love the philosophical argument. I think a lot of Bitcoiners as well do enjoy that. I want to ask about the financial side of this. from an asset diversification standpoint, or maybe a different product standpoint, you guys are thinking about moving into Bitcoin mining? Again, like the basis here is Bitcoin mining is really, really difficult. Like, it is a very hard industry. Like, at its backbone is the difficulty adjustment, right? Where like every 2 weeks it gets harder to mine Bitcoin. And so you don't see a lot of people jumping into Bitcoin mining. But Tether has certainly done that. And it has the ability to do that because it has like large reserves behind it. It has like a lot of punch behind it. But from an asset diversification standpoint, how are you guys thinking about going into these markets and purchasing infrastructure and getting into Bitcoin mining? The last thought on this for context, of course, is Tether is accruing about $1 billion per quarter in profits from the stablecoin business as of now. You guys have other lines of business as well, of course. Bitcoin mining is generating a little bit less than $1 billion per month, and that's already distributed across all these different Bitcoin miners. So from like a financial perspective, it's interesting that Tether is looking to eat at some of this pie. What's the end goal for Tether here? Is it to eat this pie and get bigger? Or is it that philosophical argument that we just want to be part of the network and continue to decentralize Bitcoin mining?
I think the, you know, of course, it's I'm biased to my company, and, you know, it might be... I will say it anyway. It's mainly philosophical at this point. So we started, we are helping El Salvador, as I think is known to, with their Volcano Energy company and an adventure. We have been establishing and partnering with a company in Uruguay to build also mining facilities there. We have been supporting different established companies in Paraguay to perform Bitcoin mining. And so we act as a liquidity provider for such enterprises, and also as infrastructure provider internally, as thanks to these different involvements and partnerships. Tether has started to develop a software that might become open source in the future, where we have been working closely with the different hardware providers, the classic ones, right? So Bitmain, Bitdeer, Avalon, and so on and so forth, to build libraries to connect and gather data from all the different devices and pull them into an infrastructure that again may become open source at some point, so that anyone could have a good control over even extremely complex Bitcoin mining facilities. So we are also technologies at heart, and so we think that for us, we want, you might have seen that Tether also invested a bit in Bitcoin, and so has a portfolio of Bitcoins, is investing Bitcoin mining from a philosophical point of view, as in decentralizing Bitcoin mining, but also I see it personally as a protection of our investment on the other side that we made on Bitcoin, right? So it's a way to, we are basically investing a little bit of our profits in helping to secure Bitcoin mining so that the rest of our investment in Bitcoin can be more secure as well. You know, it's an interesting game theory and game, if you think about it. But if everyone gives for granted, takes for granted the fact that someone else is doing properly Bitcoin mining, the Bitcoin network will not be as solid as it could be. Instead, if everyone will start almost not trusting the other miners, and just saying, well, then I will do a little bit myself, right? So then there is also this competition, not on trying to squeeze all the possible revenues from Bitcoin mining, but also there is also that competition of being like a sort of acquiring a portion of the hash rate just to give diversity and protect your own investment. So of course, we don't expect to have multiples, or we don't expect to make the same returns that we are doing with other business lines with Bitcoin mining. But nevertheless, we expect to have, sure, not lose money, but have a nice yield that comes from that. And but the most important topics are philosophy. So that means geopolitical decentralization and diversification, and also protection of our all the other investments that we do in the Bitcoin space.
you guys are operating a Bitcoin mining business, a global one. You know, you have the operations in El Salvador you're helping out with, Uruguay, you have the investment in Northern Data. There might be some other I don't know about. I'm curious how you guys are managing that from an operations standpoint. And I think a lot of people who listen to the show are going to be interested as well, because they're often managing operations all across the United States or globally as well. What's your kind of top-down approach when it comes to maybe like site selection and site management, the partners you're working with, how you're going about procurement for parts, infrastructure, ASICs, those sort of things?
So when it comes to procuring hardware, we have different strategies. And also, I want to say that we have approached to Bitcoin mining recently. So we are also in the exploratory phase, right? So we are not the type of obnoxious people that think, well, you know, we are the best miner, you know, full stop. So we also treat these as a research process, an educational process for ourselves. If we have to invest, and we are investing in Bitcoin mining, we have to understand it really well. We are not a VC fund that throws money into something that they don't understand. We are the type of people that want to enter in the deep details of what the heck is going on there. So that's why also myself personally, I have been contributing to code to the Moria system, that is our, you know, infrastructure monitoring system for energy production, Bitcoin mining, all the possible sensors, basically IoT for mining, and super cool. And so that's what the level of sophistication that we have, right? So we started with smaller sites in Uruguay, Paraguay. El Salvador is a little bit of a longer project, because you might, surely you know that when you go into the geothermal aspects, it takes more time to build geothermal, right? So it's that also is, we combine our interest in El Salvador specifically, we combine our interest in Bitcoin mining and our own necessity to grow and understand it better with our interest in making sure that El Salvador gets benefits also out of it and can grow as a country, right? It's, again, also that is for us philosophical. We have been supporting El Salvador and growth and adoption of Bitcoin. I will be there from Monday for 1 week to participate in adopting Bitcoin and as well. So for us, El Salvador is a good example of how we can prove that for us it's not just squeezing that extra buck, but we are trying to do research. We are helping the growth of the country. We are trying to employ people there. It's like multi-factor approach. So, but nevertheless, as going back to my point, we start from smaller sites so that we can get our teeth in, and then we plan over time to expand to bigger opportunities. So on the smaller sites, we partner with local companies that have people on the ground that have already experience. We pick sites that are in a good location to have access to good high tension lines. So we work to build our own transformers, and also, of course, we work with the local territory, right? We want always to be seen as good partners for the territory. We want to employ local people. We don't like to, you know, flood the dock environment with people coming from abroad. If we do this, it's because also the local territory have to benefit out of it. And so also on the sourcing of equipment, sometimes it happened that we got good deals on buying stuff from shells from you know, some companies in the past failed. So there were some good deals around. And otherwise, we have also great, given our size, we have great connections and with all the biggest mining producers. So usually we can get really good deals when it comes to sourcing new material as well. Right? I remember that, you know, at the peak, you could pay around $120, $110 per terahash. Now we are like one-tenth of that, if almost, right? So things also changed a lot. And us, we also play a lot of risk management and thinking that next year there is going to be the halving, we are seeing an uptake in excitement due to the Bitcoin ETF that could push the price higher. So, you know, there is more incentive to enter in the Bitcoin mining space. There is halving on the other side. So all these factors are also, you have not only to look at the, of course, the cost of hardware and electricity, you have also the prediction of how many other players will start jumping due to the all the other ecosystem factors, as I said, the ETF and then the halving.
Certainly. I want to ask about like site selection, how you guys go about that process. What does it look like for Tether to come in and find local partners? What sort of things are you like going on your checklist? Like, is it like cheap energy and good providers? What are the logistics like? How do you guys think about site selection?
So the, one of the main factors is we usually like to start with smaller countries. I think that we just proved with the three that I mentioned. It's kind of a statement to that. Also, we want to make sure that there is a political stability, right? So you don't want to be in a situation where political wind changes and you have to stop operations after like months or like a couple of years, because Bitcoin mining is expensive. It's also is expensive. Even if you do containerized Bitcoin mining, which we do for a good part of it, and you have the argument that you can move the miners somewhere else, it still takes time, and also you have to prepare the site, right? The investment in preparing the site, prepare the security, building transformers and connecting to the lines, and it takes time, it takes energy, it takes money. So we want political stability, and that's one of the main points we ask. And then the electricity price is the other important factor, right? So what is the break-even price? If it's 4 cents, 5 cents, 30 cents. So of course, with the prediction of and projections of the Bitcoin price, that becomes really important, especially with the halving. I think that most of the 5 cents electricity prices were not profitable below with Bitcoin price below $30,000, and so you know that is really important, because then they were not profitable almost now. Because of course you have an important OPEX as well, right? So if you think about the halving coming in the next 6 months, then it will be even less profitable. So we need the cost of electricity and a good connection with the country electricity company is one of the key elements, right? We don't want to be in a situation where the electricity costs can be not fully predictable over the course of the next 5 to 7 years. So we have seen, not in our case, but we have studied a lot what went wrong with other companies before entering the space. And we are seeing how there, in some contracts, there was the and heavy reliance of the cost of the spot market on the spot market, right? Yes, you basically some contracts were saying yes, you have like 2.5 cents cost of electricity, but there are some cases in which these conditions where you know the cost the spot price is you will have to have access to spot price. And now we enter in the last, you know, we entered in really strong winter seasons and hot summers. And so it happened many times that miners had to either stop mining or resort to really high spot prices. And so also that could be, so studying the territory and the availability of excess energy also in peak seasons of hot or cold is extremely important as well. So There is really a ton of study on the local ecosystem, because we don't want to be coding, again, investing tens of millions of dollars and then, well, you have to stop mining for maybe weeks because it's too cold or too hot. And we, again, want to be in a situation where we are seeing good partners for the territory. We don't want to steal energy from the households. That would be wrong. That's the other point that we have in order to select a site is to find places that would allow us in the future to build energy, an energy production facility. That is, for example, what we are planning to do in Uruguay. So we plan to build a solar and wind energy production facility in El Salvador. Is clear from the project, it will be geothermal, a little bit of wind as well. So we want to do Bitcoin mining, and but also we want to participate to the renewable energy production.
Yeah, I almost feel bad for you guys because you have to deal with the Tether Truth or FUD, and now you've elected to pick up the Bitcoin mining energy FUD as well. So congrats to you guys for jumping into that. I want to ask about site selection globally now. So you talked about El Salvador and Uruguay, and most of that has been LATAM, right? In LATAM, we've had some Bitcoin miners from LATAM on the show. They're typically actually my favorite shows because there's a lot of ingenuity and creativity when it comes to working in these markets. Has Tether looked at other places globally to invest for Bitcoin mining?
Well, we have been in contact with, so we didn't start yet any operation or close any deals, but we have been looking at Middle East. You know, we have been contacted by a group, for example, Oman. Central Asia is as well interesting. It's they are a market that we really openly know a little bit less, and so we are again not the type of guys that jump into something without doing having extreme levels of due diligence, right? So the thing is that feels, especially in when it comes to Central Asia and the Middle East, we have, you know, hundreds of people telling us, well, I know the government, right? So I can get you the best deal ever. And then when you hear it once, twice, three times, and then 10 times and 20, 50 times, then you start scratching your head. It's like either the place is really small and everyone is basically best buddy with the governor of that place, or there is, you know, maybe not everyone is telling the truth, right? So it's hard to gauge exactly, you know, what level of stability you would end up in having if you don't do the right steps. So we are taking it a bit more cautiously there.
That's funny. Okay, we got a few more minutes here, and I want to do some somewhat rapid fire questions. First, starting off with the U.S. market. So you mentioned that Bitcoin mining is more a philosophical move for Tether at the moment. Maybe it grows into a larger product for you guys. Would you ever invest in the U.S. for Bitcoin mining, or invest in a U.S.-based company if the opportunity was correct? Or are you guys not interested in that market, not interested in North America because there's too much hash rate there already?
Well, I think our preference would be, you know, the U.S. has a ton of location on hash rate. And you could argue that Northern Data has, you know, and had in the past some sites in the U.S. So we see that as already, you know, we see the U.S. already being so prominent that they don't need any further support from our side, right? So I think is for us is more exciting to see, almost to go into boutique countries and build something there. It's in general is more rewarding personally as a and also as a company.
Gotcha. Okay, more rapid fire questions. Are you a Bitmain guy or a MicroBT guy, or have you guys come to the consideration on which side of the fence you're on yet?
We prefer to be like Switzerland and be neutral.
Oh, I didn't like that answer, but that's fair. I think there is like a slight war between the two sides, or at least from a lot of people I speak with about the topic. Okay, next question. Tether does have like a lot of other financial products that are pretty interesting. One being like the Tether Gold product, and you can tokenize gold and trade that. Are you guys interested in doing anything with hash rate? There's hash rate markets out there. There's tokenized hash rate. Have you guys ever looked at participating in that sort of market?
That's a great question. The issue with the tokenized hash rate is that you have, so with gold, right? You have gold bars in a vault, you own the vault, and it's easy, right? So you can be comfortable that you check all your bars, you scan all your bars, you weight all your bars, and that's it. With hash rate, you need, there are so many different levels of also SLA, right? So having the gold is basically fungible. As long as it's LVMA compliant, gold is fungible. But with hash rate, it's harder to say that hash rate is necessarily fungible. And so I think it's hard to ensure that all the different participants that could provide or could put their hash rate up to for sale in the contract would maintain the same exact standards. So that's where I find it a bit harder to do something that at least can become extremely big. You could have multiple contracts from multiple vendors, that for sure is interesting. But if we thought in the past to have this huge pool of contracts coming from different accredited parties and professional parties, but that still is extremely difficult and things could go wrong really fast, especially we have seen in 2022 how it could turn for miners. So it's hard to trust every single participant in the market.
Yeah, I think it'd be a very cool product to get off the ground. I've seen a few companies, and there have been a few companies try to do this. I mean, Binance had a token for quite a while. I don't think it's quite really liquid anymore. But a lot of people want access to hash rate. They don't have an ASIC. You kind of mentioned it earlier, right? Like a lot of people are trusting Bitcoin miners to move Bitcoin on their behalf, and they don't participate in it, but they should from maybe a philosophical standpoint. So that'd be interesting to see if something else came up like that. Okay, two more rapid fire questions for you. First one, AI. You guys are investing in Northern Data. They're working on AI infrastructure. There has been this pushback or counter argument that it's pretty hypey, it's top of the market kind of stuff. What's like your neutral take on what this AI infrastructure market looks like? Are you guys extremely bullish on it, or is it just like another investment that you see just going up over the next few years and that's why you're parking some money there?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're not thinking or believing that it would be 10x the value of our investment in a year, right? So it's not Dogecoin or Shiba Inu, right? So it's an infrastructure play that will provide a yield over a period of time that is multi-year anyway. And also we are big believers in the fact that AI is going to be a fundamental part of our lives. We believe that we cannot live, it's also partly again philosophical, we believe that we shouldn't leave to ChatGPT, OpenAI, and restrict a number of companies access to AI. So as part of our communication infrastructure built on CloudBunch, we are planning to have, sort of a private AI, your personal assistant that you can fine tune with your own data, and where the data remains with you, but you can use it with the same efficiency you can use with ChatGPT. I think that is the future, and we want also, apart from of course making a yield on our investment, we all want also to experiment on how AI can be complementary to the Bitcoin story.
Last question for you. There's been a lot of talk about drive chains and other protocol changes to Bitcoin. Now that Tether is getting into the Bitcoin mining side of things, it's obviously a governance topic there. You guys have been investing in Lightning. There's the RGB thing you mentioned earlier. How do you guys think about these governance decisions with Bitcoin? And what role do you think Bitcoin miners should play in Bitcoin governance?
Well, if you ask me, I'm a big fan of ossification. So I don't think miners should play any role in deciding which technology or feature should be added to Bitcoin. I believe that we had in the past user-activated soft forks that, in my opinion, is the path to go to propose and push features. I'm also the CTO of Bitfinex, and I remember really well the role of Bitfinex in the SegWit2x wars and so on, right? So I don't think we should ever go back to that. And I think that if I have to think about Bitcoin, I like the concept of ossification, right? If you start adding changes, it's almost like a little bit of a drag, right? Oh yes, another last change, right? So only one change more. And then once you have that, then just the last one, please. And so if we keep doing this, Bitcoin will keep moving and will keep be more uncertain, right? So I think that people were saying there are two things in life that are certain, like taxes and death. Now we could say that there are three things that are in a certain life. There is taxes, death, and Bitcoin. And so that can only happen if there is proper certification.
I want to ask a clarification question around that because I'm just interested. Tether is mostly run on the Tron blockchain, or Tether is issued mostly, I should say, on the Tron blockchain, Ethereum, and a few other chains. Used to be prevalent on Omni, which was built on Bitcoin. And you guys are certainly interested in bringing back stablecoins to Bitcoin through something like RGB. And I know you guys have something with Liquid as well. Would you like to see a world where the majority of stablecoins are run on top of Bitcoin?
Yes, and I believe that is possible without modifications to Bitcoin, for example, with RGB or potentially with sidechains like Bitcoin.
Love it. Paulo, thank you so much for today. Really appreciate your time and for all the insights into Tether's Bitcoin mining operations.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Will.